Okay, James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Thank you for coming back and looking into the Word of God. Several visitors who are here this morning are back, and so we're grateful for that. And James chapter 3, let's take a look at some, again, very practical advice from the pen of James. James wants to know, what's that state, the show me state? What state is that? Yeah, he'd be from Missouri if he lived in America. He wants you to show us. And so James chapter 3, last week we talked about taming the tongue, which is quite a task. Tongue can fire off pretty fast. Take a look at James chapter 3, verse 13. Another question from the pen of James. Who is wise and understanding among you? Who excels among you in your group? Either this is who claims to be wise and understanding, or perhaps it's the estimation of the group that a person is wise and understanding. Notice what he says. This is the proof of it. This is the show of it. He says, by his good conduct, by nothing that he says. We tend to relate wisdom to what a man says, but James says, I don't care what you say. Men can say anything. I care about what you do. I care about conduct. If you're wise and understanding, show me by your actions. I don't need to hear your words. Now, we're in the midst of a political cycle that is one of the more fascinating in the history of our country. There's an awful lot of words being thrown all over the place. I'm going to give you my political speech, all right? I'm going to give you my one-word encouragement, vote. That's all. We are handed voters' guides, as all churches are, and I took the voters' guide this year, as I do every year, and I filed them in the round circular file. You don't need a voter's guide for people to, you know, it's like an idiot light on the dash of your car. You ought to know, be informed, if you need an idiot guide, that's what I call them, to know who to vote for, you're not listening and reading. And so we don't need those down here. In fact, this place is not about politics or political parties or candidates. The only candidate we're interested in is King Jesus, who is coming to take over. That's all we care about. But as your pastor, let me tell you, you should vote. You absolutely should be engaged in the process. It is a right that people have died for. It is a right that people around the world would love to have. We have it. You ought to use it. You ought to vote. Okay? Enough said. I guess I threw that in there because words mean nothing. It's actions that count. James says, you're smart, you're wise, you're understanding. Let me watch you for a while. You don't need to say it. A wise man never has to say, I'm wise. He never has to point it out. A man of understanding never has to say, excuse me, ask me because I know. Okay? Free advice, like the little Lucy on Peanut stand. Free advice. A wise person never projects themselves as anyone wise. They don't talk about it. But you know it. It's like the man in the house that constantly affirms, I am the man of the house. He's not really, or he wouldn't have to say it. Right? If he is, he never has to say it. You just know he is. So it's the same with the wise and understanding. Watch the way they live, the conduct. Watch them in the good days, watch them in the bad days. Watch them when there's good news coming, watch them when there's bad news coming. Watch them in the ebb and flow of life in every circumstance and situation, and watch what they do, not what they say. And you'll peg it out right there. He says, notice by his good conduct, let him show forth his works. How he reacts to life, what he does. Notice, let him react in the meekness of wisdom. He's not to talk about how wise he is. He's not to think himself wise. It is the humility of wisdom, because wisdom is a gift from God. It is a gift of God to understand not what you see on the surface, but what's under the surface. That's a gift from God. It is said Solomon, when he was asked by God, what do you want? Solomon did not ask for riches and wealth and all that stuff. He said, Lord, I am young. I am inexperienced. I need you to tell me how to pull this king thing off. If you know, you'll never listen. If you're wise, you are not. But in the meekness of understanding that understanding situations, how they are, is a gift from God, he could take that gift away in a heartbeat. Okay? Meekness. Understanding that wisdom is not from you, it's from God. We get puffed up real fast. Look at verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousies, or bitter jealousy, and selfish ambition, notice where this lies, in the heart. Okay? If you're jealous of something someone else has, or something that someone else is, if you'd like their spot in life, if you wish you had what they have, and by the way, never wish you had what someone else has, because you don't really know what they have. What they probably got is a whole lot worse than you, okay? But if you're comparing yourself with other people and constantly judging success on the basis of other people's achievement, you're not pulling off what God has given you. We should applaud other people's achievement, not be jealous for them. We all run a different trail. We're called to a different calling. God has been so specific and unique with us. Your gifts are not my gifts. My gifts are not your gifts. We should be happy with what we have, not be jealous of what we don't have. My mother-in-law had two sisters. And I'm not saying they were jealous with each other, but it was fascinating to watch because when one of the sisters did anything with their house, before long the other two sisters did exactly the same thing with their house. And I don't know if there was jealousy going on, but there was always this, I mean, it was almost, if you went to all three houses, they look almost alike because they're just following each other. And they were all sweet ladies, and I love them all to death, but isn't it interesting? We just kind of are so influenced by other things. But he says, don't do that. Don't have jealousy. And don't have selfish ambitions. Don't live life to promote you. Say, every conversation that you enter into is not for the purpose of making you look good. It's for the sake of you learning what you can from the other person. I was on one of my walks last week, and I'm tired of the music I've got because it just keeps playing the same stupid songs over and over. I shouldn't say that about Chris Tomlin, but it's just the same songs. You get tired. So I thought, well, I'll listen to TED Talks. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about with TED Talks? And I picked a lady who said, oh, you ought to get that free app, TED Talks. They're fascinating talks. You can hear about that Gore fella and global warming. And anyway, but you got to pick your talk. But there's a good talk by a lady who, there's 10 tips about how to have a great conversation with other people. And it was fascinating. It was about 15 minutes long, and I can't recite all 10 of them, but basically she said, all that stuff you've ever heard about good eye contact and nodding, you know, and she said, it's all garbage. Throw it out. Why should you have to pretend that you're interested in something someone else? Why don't you really be interested in them? Then you wouldn't have to concentrate on eye contact. And she gave 10 fascinating things about just being interested in what the other person has to teach you. And asking open-ended questions. Selfish ambition says, the reason we're together, there's something for me in this thing. Rather than me encouraging you and building you up and saying something positive to you, I just need my ego stroke. Will you just stroke my ego somehow? Make me feel good about myself, see? No selfish ambitions, either within conversations or within the church. The church purpose of the church is to glorify Jesus Christ and to fulfill the mission that he gave us. Not for anyone's selfish ambitions, not mine, not yours, not anyone's. It's his church, his program, his message. It's really about him. So no selfish ambitions. By the way, James was mentioning this because there was this kind of stuff going on in the church. Does that encourage you? To know that the church thousands of years ago dealt with people that were selfishly jealous and had selfish ambitions? It even gets worse. This is why he's so practical. Verse 14, for where jealousy and selfish ambitions exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. There's just going to be confusion. There's no unity of purpose. There's no sweetness of spirit. People are jockeying for position or jockeying for their way to win the day. And there's disorder in that sort of thing. James says, this all is in your heart. Examine and see if it's there, he says. Notice not only that this wisdom that, notice, but if you have jealous, did I skip a whole bunch of stuff? Look at verse 14. I did, didn't I? I want to get through the message, don't I? All right, let's go back. All right, that's a fast way to be done. All right, amen, let's pray. Verse 14, let's go back over it. Forgive me for that. My eyes hit the wrong spot. Verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambitions in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth. What truth is he talking about? He's talking about the truth. Well, let's look back and look at verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast. Do not brag. Do not say you're a person of wisdom, because that would be false. The truth is, wisdom is a gift of God and not ours. So to have selfish ambition and jealousy and to think you're something when you're not is to lie against the truth. The truth is, there's no one special. The truth is, there's only one, and that's Christ. The truth is, I guess you could say, we're all special. We're all equal, is what I'm trying to say. God loves us all equally the same. There's no big cats, no small cats. He loves us all. All of us. Verse 17. Oh, 16. Stop 15. There it is. Why am I trying to rush? I only got to the end of the chapter. I don't know why I'm trying to rush. I'm trying to make this thing last. Verse 15. I'm going back to them. Don't. You're going to get your money's worth, okay? You come down here for something, and we're going to give it to you. Verse 15. Whether it means anything, it's going to be something. Verse 15. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. The wisdom that promotes self, the wisdom that gets jealous, the wisdom that causes discord, that's not from God. I can't tell you the times folks have caused discord and blamed it on God, that said, God told me to do. God doesn't tell us to do discord. Amen. Uh-uh. That's why they justify. Look at verse 15. This wisdom, its origins are not from up there, but are earthly, unspiritual. Notice, they are demonic. That's pretty deep, isn't it? They are demonic. Satan divides, God unifies. That which causes discord is never of God. That which causes division is always demonic. Whether it's in a family, whether it's in a workplace, whether it's at a school, whether it's in a church, as James speaks of here, it is never right. Unity is the key. Not uniformity. Not a bunch of pressed out robots who are just all do this. Not uniformity, but unity of purpose and love and no discord. It doesn't take long for discord to kill a church. That's why it's always taken seriously, very seriously. Well, before I say which, yeah, 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. And there have been an awful lot of vile practices going on in churches throughout the centuries. Some of the most ugly, hideous, sinful things happen between the pews when there's discord. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above, this is the wisdom from God. First of all, it is pure. It has no evil motives. It's not trying to hurt anyone. It's not trying to promote you or I. It cares about what God thinks and what he cares about. It's pure. It's pure. Now, we've got enough Spirit of God in all of us to know what is right and what is wrong, what is pure and what is holy and what is not. We all can identify flesh, can we not, pretty quick? Absolutely. Anything that promotes you, your selfish ambitions, our jealousy, comes from, James just designates the source. And to be very clear, that the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. It just doesn't. Nope, nope. Black and white, that's James. But but the wisdom from above is first pure, and then it's peaceable. There's no war in it. It's peaceable, it is gentle, it is open to reason. Minds have not been shut. It is open to reasonable solutions, reasonable direction, reasonable judgments. It's open to reason. It's full of mercy. This wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. It is impartial. It doesn't prefer one person over another. It doesn't prefer one position over another. It is impartial. This is the wisdom that says we care what God thinks. We want to make sure that we're living our lives and conducting our church and how we conduct each other toward each other with the wisdom and will of God. Impartial and sincere. You know what sincerity is? It's absolutely saying what you mean and meaning what you say. It's looking someone in the eye and saying a certain thing and you mean every bit of it. You don't go away and say something different. It's sincere. Notice the result in verse 18. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Doesn't mean that there's not stuff to go through, but ultimately those who sow in peace, there is a harvest that will eventually come to those who care. So I guess the question for all of us tonight, are you a person of peace or a person of war? Now, not peace at any cost, mind you, but a peace that comes from God, knowing that it's God's will for us to live in peace as a church. Now, I'm just going to hit the first verse or two of chapter 4, because I can see Wilbur looking at his watch, and he's not done yet. He needs a few more things. So verse chapter 4, verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Whether it's in the church, within the home, within families, within the workplace, what is the source of the battle? Well, I'll tell you what the source of the battle is. Them. It's him. It's her. It's those stupid rules workplaces have. It's this person who's pushing everybody. That's the problem. Man, if I could just fix that person. You know that person. Fill in the blank. You got them in your mind. Where do quarrels and battles and fights come from? This is the most rugged bit of counseling. I do very little counseling because when I get done with folks and they walk out, most of the time they don't like what I just told them. If they'll respond to it, there's absolute change and altering. But normally I'm not going to give them a hug. I'm not going to be warm and fuzzy. I'm going to be cold and prickly and tell them the truth. James says this, where are all your problems come from? Well, notice what he says. Is it not this, that your passions are at war inside of you? The problem's you. No one can make you mad. No one can make you jealous. No one can make you hurt. You make choices and personal. This is the ultimate verse on personal responsibility. I'm always responsible for my reaction to other people. Absolutely. That is the incredible power that God has given us as human beings. It's an amazing power to be able to forgive someone a wrong done. The ability not to respond by slapping someone in the face that slapped us is the ultimate. You know what forgiveness is, right? Forgiveness is letting someone off the hook that hurt you. It's not saying they didn't hurt you. It's saying, it's acknowledging, yes, you did. And man, you owe me that debt. You deserve to pay for what you said and did. I'm letting you go. I am releasing you that debt. Isn't that what God did to us? The reason stuff stays stirred up in your life wherever you go is because of you, not them. You could end it all in a heartbeat. Takes two to tango. Really does. That's not what you want to hear, though, is it? That's not the easy stuff. That's recognizing that if there's battles in your life, it's you.